Hello, guys, gals, non-binary pals, solar-powered cyborgs, and other. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Lab. I'm your host, DJ Squared, and with me is my co-host,
Harper.
And with us is our special guest,
Dr. Quinn Spadola. I run education outreach for the Institute for Electronics and Nanotechnology and SCENIC, which is the Southeastern Nanotechnology Infrastructure Corridor site for the National Nanotechnology Coordinated Infrastructure, an NSF-funded network of nanotechnology facilities.
You got that down pat.
I know. I got all the. Had to make sure I put all my plugs in. Yeah.
I mean, it's important. Yes. It really is.
How much did you have to practice to learn all of that?
Oh, I was thinking about it the entire time. I don't have it memorized.
Okay.
Something to aspire to. So yeah.
Well, I don't have titles, so I don't have to remember anything. I'm a student.
Eventually. Something, like I said, something to aspire to.
Yes.
All right, so we're just going to jump right on in here with, what was your first experience with science fiction? Like, first contact?
Oh, probably high school or middle school. I love movies and I love TV shows, but I would say the first contact that made an impression wasn't until college when I borrowed Babylon 5 from a friend. And watched all of that. And as long as you push through the first season, the rest of it's wonderful. You have to watch the first season, but you have to.
It's one of those. You gotta slog through until you get to the good bit.
I've never seen it.
You should watch it. It's wonderful. It's one of the best science fiction TV shows ever.
Was it a Sci-Fi Channel show?
I don't know. This was the 90s. Okay. I don't even know. I watched it on VHS tapes.
Okay.
It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be on Sci-Fi now. There might be reruns.
Yeah, maybe. Stargate was my favorite. Stargate SG-1. So that was also later 90s, but that was a Sci-Fi Channel show.
Yep. Like I said last week, it was really unfortunate that you couldn't be there because Julie likes Stargate.
Oh, I love Stargate so much.
Yeah. Julie Hugany from the Modern Languages Division was here last week. I talked to her because Harper couldn't be here, unfortunately. Was it Pod People this time?
Yes. I was abducted. I can't talk. So that's fun.
Don't worry. It's the Pod People. All right. So how long have you been involved in, like, the science fiction community?
Beyond being a fan, probably the last 4+ years as far as contributing and I would say the way that I've been doing that is trying to use it to bring more science and technology to the people that are fans of it. I've gotten to organize a few panels at AwesomeCon, which is Washington, D.C.'s Comic-Con, in my position doing education outreach for nanotechnology and kind of using nanotechnology as its reference in science fiction to kind of introduce people to the real science behind it. So that's my entry point in, I guess, being a part of the community beyond just being a fan.
Okay. Okay, but what, like, so I guess your fan day started with Babylon 5?
Yeah, B5. And then more, I definitely read it. My favorite is Margaret Atwood, that Mad Atom series. I'm trying to think. And then watching it, B5, Battlestar Galactica, of course, movies. I use a lot of comic book movies in my outreach. And then reading it, whatever I can pick up, really. And short stories. I like hard science fiction and like Nature, the journal. For a little while, they were having people contribute short sci-fi stories. So that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Do I need, is that good?
Yeah, okay. You're good. Don't worry about it. This is a very casual show.
Yeah. All right, great.
So you use comic book movies in your outreach, you said? What do you think about, like, the current Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh, I love it. Whenever I talk to students, I always ask them, have you ever heard the term nanotechnology? And a lot of the kids will raise their hands, and in Infinity War, they finally say nanotechnology. They don't say nanobots, they don't say nanites, they don't say nano. Iron Man actually says nanotechnology, and I cheered a little bit in the audience because I was so happy to hear him say it. Now, the way they show it, it's, you know, it's magical. It cures everything. It's an explanation for stuff that will probably never, ever happen, but that it's something that the kids have heard of before, and then we can start talking about the real stuff from there.
Yeah. It's like, this is the hand-wavy bit.
Yeah.
Here's the real stuff.
Yes.
Your outreach, is that school-age children or college?
Straight through K to gray is what we say, with the Awesome Con panels and things like that. It's older than that, of course. There's a lot of grown-ups, but family-friendly. And then for the Atlanta Science Festival this spring, I actually worked with the Jimmy Carter Library, and we submitted, hopefully it will be accepted, a program called The Science of the Avengers. And we're bringing in an expert in AI, astrobiology, and nanomaterials to kind of use what's going on in those movies and then explain their research and what's real. Like, aliens aren't going to look like Thor, unfortunately. And we're not going to have suits that are stored in little, like, medallions, necklaces that just come and self-assemble around us, probably, in the near future.
But probably.
Awesome.
That makes me think of Ant-Man.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is that who you were talking about? I haven't seen all the Avengers movies.
Infinity War. Remember, he wears, like, the Iron Man suit. Oh, okay.
I haven't seen most
of the spoilers. It just...
Oh, it's fine.
He wears it on his chest, and then the suit builds itself, and he gives one to Spider-Man, too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I've only seen some of the movies. I have not seen them all, so I'm a little clueless about it.
That's perfectly fine. I have seen every single Marvel, like, Marvel Universe movie except for Black Panther.
It's so good.
It's so good. That's also, there's nano in there too.
Yeah.
They say nanites though. They couldn't say nanotechnology.
Maybe it's just because nanites sound cooler.
I think so. It captures the imagination, but it's not.
Yeah. Technically accurate.
I don't know what it is they're talking about. If they're like nanobots are one of my pet peeves. I don't like when people talk about nanobots because it's hard to define. You don't know what you're really talking about. And then what they have them do will never be, well, most likely won't be possible. So nanites, nanobots, that kind of stuff. I always like to talk about how, I don't know if that's going to be
a thing.
Really a thing. Yeah.
Nanites makes it seem even smaller somehow.
Maybe.
Yeah, it does. It does make it feel. It does. That's just the feeling you get.
Yeah.
Which
like a
is
diminutive on the end of the word. Yeah. Right, making it.
Is an interesting semantic discussion. but not entirely what we're here for. Maybe next time. Or the time after that. Who knows?
Winging it.
The semantics of science fiction would be an excellent series.
Yeah, made up words and what they, like the Mad Adams series, like all the things she writes about that could happen and how she thinks of what the terms would be, especially this, like the products, like thinking about how a future corporation would name something that's totally made up. And of course, 1984 and all their speak. I don't know, that's not sci-fi, it's just scary future stuff.
It is, it's speculative.
Is it sci-fi?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the police dog spiders are pretty science fictional. That's like the biggest thing I remember from.
Oh god, no! I think about the rat.
Sorry. That was Fahrenheit 451.
Okay.
But yeah, 1984 was still like dystopian. Yeah, it was dystopian future. You know, a condemnation of fascism. So
I have not read it. Surprisingly,
I've only seen the movie. 2 + 2 = 5.
So. It's very creepy.
It's super creepy. Just watch the movie. The movie's actually very good. Like, very good. It's terrifying, but it's good.
Who made the movie?
I don't know. Gosh, it's so old.
I don't even think there was anybody.
It is old.
Is there a famous actor in it? I'm not even certain if there is.
I don't know.
Like a Steven Spielberg movie
or
something?
No. It was produced by Simon Perry. Screenplay by Michael Radford. I'm looking at it, and it's just
what year did it come out?
It came out in, it'd be hilarious if it came out in
1984. Maybe it's that old.
I don't know. I really don't know. Because it's just...
IMDb.
It came out... It did come out in
1984. Oh, nice.
In October of 1984 in the U.S. and in December 1984 in the... Or, sorry. Stop that. Reverse it. October 1984 in the U.K. December 1984 in the U.S.
Okay. Oh, well, Clockwork Orange is another one. I think the book, the movie is fantastic, but reading that book was also, and that was a great sci-fi book to read.
Everything I've heard about Clockwork Orange makes it sound terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But have you not read it? My goodness. You have to do both. You have to do both. Don't read it first and then watch the movie.
I can't do that.
No?
I have to watch the movie first, then read the book, because if I don't, I'll just be sitting there raging at how different the movie is from the book.
It's a good adaptation.
This is an observable phenomenon. Okay, my parents refuse to take me to specific book movies anymore. Like, they will not go with me because I'll just sit there vibrating in anger. Even if I didn't like the book, I still can't watch the movie.
That's funny.
It's hilarious.
Think of it as like a different interpretation.
It's kind of hilarious. But like, I can never watch Muppet Treasure Island again. Because it's nothing like the book, but I hated the book.
I didn't know there were books? Muppet books?
No, Muppet Treasure Island. It's based off of Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's... See? Very casual show. We're going on tangents already. So, do you have a favorite subgenre of science fiction?
The hard sci-fi, I guess.
Just, okay. Yeah.
Does that count as a subgenre? I don't know. What are some examples of subgenres?
Like, my favorite subgenre is steampunk.
Okay. Okay.
I like the grotesque, and then...
I'm not a fan. I stay away. Like Lovecraft or H.P.?
I actually haven't read any Lovecraft, but I've only read short stories.
I think that's more cosmic horror.
Oh, okay. Grotesque.
Then the grotesque and like all of these subgenres are very nebulous. So like the grotesque or cosmic horror could be part of the grotesque.
It's Frankenstein? Yeah. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a horror grotesque. I'm reading it right now for Dr. Yasik's class. We're halfway through.
That's probably the scariest thing I've read because I decided I enjoyed it, but I don't like to be that scared. I stay away from.
It gets scary. I haven't gotten to a scary part.
I think what's scary about is actually the doctor and how, I mean, of course, I'm not giving anything away, right?
It's
like, fine, just how unwilling he is to accept
his statute of
skin. I guess what I find scary is his unwillingness to take responsibility. Scientists and engineers need to take responsibility, and his unwillingness to. Maybe that's not, like, horror. But.
He's also a very whiny, selfish person.
Man,
like,
yes.
So much he's just like, oh, you know, they don't feel this as much as I feel it. Like, my brother was murdered, and I feel it more than anyone else. And I just have to roll my eyes the entire time. It's a little ridiculous. So.
Yep. Uh-huh. Also, as we said last week, the true villain of Frankenstein is just bad parenting.
Yes. Cyberpunk? That's a subgenre. William Gibson Neil Diamond Age, the Diamond Age guy. Oh my goodness, Stephenson.
Yeah,
those two, right? That's
I think so.
Cyberpunk. Okay, I read a lot of those. The Diamond Age has nanotech in it, and William Gibson is just
awesome,
a great writer. So. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite example of nanotechnology in science fiction? Either guilty pleasure favorite or like technically accurate favorite.
Oh, I don't know about technically accurate across the board.
Like if there is.
I mean, I think the Diamond Age does a pretty good job with it. They kind of have sort of like replicators, but not. They actually. And then I think William Gibson. See, the problem is, and the nice thing about nanotech is it's at this stage right now, it enables so many other things like haptic feedback, which we have now when things vibrate. That's an example of haptic feedback. And they're integrating it. They find that people actually follow directions better if they feel like a wiggle on their shoulder when they have to turn, more so than even watching it on the screen. So then what was his most recent, William Gibson's most recent, it's like a number is the title or something. Oh, I can't believe I don't remember. But there's a lot of, they talk a lot about that because one of the characters is very, has been very damaged as a result of a war. But there's a lot of that in there. And so maybe because when I read it, I see the underlying, these things are probably possible in the future, but a lot of it will be thanks to nanotechnology. But actual using the word nanotech and referencing it, there's that in the Diamond Age. They talk about that and with materials. I feel like in The Martian, a lot of the materials they use, but I'm trying to, could be enabled like nanomaterials that are stronger than what we have now, but they're working on those. I think I go back to like the Marvel movies. I think it's great to have like the suits that are super strong. And in the comic, one of Iron Man, in one of the comics that they haven't done yet in the movies, he stops wearing the face plate because he's so handsome, right? I actually hate Tony Stark. He's so entitled, yes, yeah. And arrogant. I'm not a fan of entitled men, and right now in particular, not a fan of entitled men. Fair. But in the comic, he stops wearing it because he's so handsome and he wants the world to know, right? Like, he's a superhero and he doesn't worry about hiding his identity. And there's a guy who shoots him in the face because he thinks he's unprotected. But he tells him afterwards that he's got a graphene faceplate. And graphene is an actual 2D material that people are studying right now, and they have found that at that scale, it's strong enough to stop a bullet. Now, yes. And it's also, you can see through it. I don't know how many you would need layers of it to stop an actual real bullet at point blank in the comic, but they've shown that at that mm-hmm. scale, it can handle a ballistic force similar to... Yeah. A bullet. So in the comic, he says graphene, and he talks about how it's strong enough to stop a bullet, and it's see-through, and so he's still protected, and he's able to stop the bad guy, and he uses actual correct scientific term to describe the material that he uses. So that's a favorite. I like that. And then when they talk about it in movies, I like it better when they talk about it in terms of materials or... more so than I don't like self-replicating, I don't like nanobots. That kind of stuff just makes people scared. So
science is nothing to fear.
Well, I don't think it's that science isn't nothing to fear, but I don't think that self-replicate, like the Grey Goo, Michael Crichton, Prey, Prey from Michael Crichton, mm-hmm. he talks about the Grey Goo that comes out and eats everything, and that's nanobots. Or do you guys remember a little few years ago there was the TV show Revolution? And it was like all the power just stopped. And so everything had to go back to like steam. There was no electromagnetic radiation type. Although the sun was there. But that was the argument in the TV show. It wasn't great, the science side of it. I think it had more to do with like going back to the subsistence living and tribalism and stuff like that. But their explanation, because for some reason people feel the need to do that, was that there were nanobots eating the electromagnetic radiation.
What?
And that was another one. I was like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. You could have just like...
Left it alone.
I don't know why we always need explanations. Just have a conceit and move forward.
Technobabble.
Yeah.
Yep. People love their technobabble.
Some people.
So go to a movie with me and then I vibrate. As do a lot of my friends. Too many of us spend too much time afterwards. So that would never happen. That's not possible. So that laser is the wrong color to be able to cut through this. That kind of stuff.
So we're all like sitting in a row, vibrating at slightly different frequencies
mm-hmm.
until the entire row falls apart because we found the right frequency.
We hit, yeah, resonant. Yep.
We hit the resonant frequency of that row of chairs, which would be hilarious.
Yeah. Especially if people got the joke.
All right. I think this is going to be our last question for you.
Sure.
Do you have any science fiction recommendations, like books, movies, TV shows that you think like everyone should, you know?
Oh, the Matt Adams series, especially with CRISPR and biotech happening. So the Margaret Atwood, I think she does a great job, and she even says all the technology that they talk about in there kind of, existed at the time. It was not easy. It wouldn't have been something anyone could do at that scale or reproducibly at the time that she wrote it. But that kind of stuff is definitely coming forward. So I would say the Matt Adams series from Margaret Atwood. Handmaid's Tale is too depressing. Don't read that right now. That's not. Wait until
a few years from
we're in a better place. Oh, and I like, and The Diamond Age is a good one, of course. And I wish I could remember the most recent William Gibson book that I read, because that's really great. And I actually just started, I see it, Queen City Jazz behind you, as a recommendation from Lisa. So, and that is a there's a nanotech plague, so I'll have to see how that one goes. And then movie-wise or TV show-wise, watch Babylon 5. It's like pre-9/11 sci-fi. It's much nicer and happier than like Battlestar Galactica and all of that stuff.
Was the William Gibson one The Peripheral?
Yes. Okay. I said there were numbers. I don't know why.
Yeah, oh, well, The Peripheral. Yep. I found a short story that was numbers. It was 1977, but then you said novel, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, both of them might be good.
I've only read his short stories, but okay. They're really good.
That's really good. But I would do, I think, biotech, CRISPR stuff. I'm trying to think of that with Nano, but she doesn't do a lot of that, and she's my favorite writer, so I'm going to say that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show with us. So, I'm DJ.
I'm Harper.
Oh. And I'm Quinn.
And this has been the Sci-Fi Lab. Thanks for listening.